He was good to us. Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries.
Good morning.
Blog Talk, soon to be listeners, which a whole lot of people apparently have decided, you know, ooh, it just snowed way too much.
Right, we're going to do Blog Talk.
We here, I'm partly stalling because I'm waiting for my phone to arrive, but I did have to make an adjustment for the first song. Matter of fact, I'm going to stall for a few more minutes. Y'all, we gonna stand and start with a song y'all know. I was listening to one speaker this morning say that their word this year is presence, the presence of God. I said, wow, how appropriate. It's true. Sometimes we realize that yes, the Holy Spirit is in us, and we say God is with us. But do we really know what that means? His presence is what he's here. He's available. He's willing. So that's why we don't have to worry about anything or anybody. Because we're surrounded. God is in us. He's with us. This is how I fight my battles. 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 That's right, that's how we got through 21. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Individually in the body of Christ, together we make a part of the body of Christ. We're not alone. If we don't remember anything else this year, that's what we're going to preach about. Togetherness, unity, all year, being one to get the things done. So when we think about being surrounded by all our enemies, remember, who's on your side.
Yes.
Remember, he's present in us, with us, and with each other. Yes. Nothing is impossible when we come together.
Yes.
That's a dream.
That's the word.
Good morning, Runner for Christ.
Good morning.
Today's responsive reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32 from the New Living Translation. With the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their heart against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity.
But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy.
So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil.
If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them.
And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Together.
Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you.
Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come before you today thanking you and praising you for who you are. We thank you because we don't have to wonder what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable to you, what is not acceptable to you. We don't have to make it up. You laid it out for us. You made it plain that we could understand it. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for our sin, who rose again on the third day, Lord, with all power in his hand. Death could not hold him because he was sinless. And we thank you. We thank you that we have victory in your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
So we talked about his presence. Now we're going to remind ourselves in song of his presence. It's not just like being in heaven. It's not like some of the earthly songs that talk about heaven. It is truly heaven can come to earth because Jesus came, gave us the right to life, and now he lives in us by his Holy Spirit. His presence is here. It's in us. Remind yourself of that. Especially when some of y'all got to go to work tomorrow. Remind yourself, his presence is heaven.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matches love and beauty in life.
The moment that I see you face to face, nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Nothing.
Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me.
Say, well, I don't see him. Well, guess where it's supposed to see him at?
Amen.
In us.
Amen.
We represent.
Amen.
We supposed to.
Right.
I'm going to steal Danielle's shirt because this is just God.
That's it.
That's all we need. I mean, come on. Okay, y'all. I know y'all, it's a little chilly outside. Okay, it's cold. We got a little snow. We still a little tired. We still a little timid. I read in South Korea they still have forbidden any kind of public singing. We here. We made it over. We made it through. It's a lot of folks didn't make it through. They, matter of fact, they checked out on Friday. They like, I'm out. We're gone. We made it through 2020. We made it through 2020. Some of us, it started for us in 2019. Things started going down here. And we made it through that. And then we turned around and we made it through 2021 when we thought things couldn't get worse. And we here. He's not through with us. He's not through with us because he gave something. He did something for us at the cross. He made a way for us to get through. He came. He died. Now he's empowering us.
Jesus came and loved me, took my sins to Calvary. He has made a way for me. I've come to know him. His great love has set me free.
This is your good part right here.
At the cross, my debt was paid. All my sins were washed away. Just for me, amazing. Amazing grace at the cross.
For me, just for you. You got to think about it. Only two people were sinless in this world upon their entrance: Adam and Jesus. But we know Adam failed because Adam chose his way instead of God's way. Adam chose his life instead of eternal life. And because of that, he passed on to all of us eternal death. But Jesus came. See, I'm going somewhere because y'all got these. And he chose God's way instead of his way. He chose death for us so that we could have eternal life. And so when we choose Jesus, we choose God's way. So that's why we come on the first Sunday of the month and we set aside a time where we remember what Jesus did for us in a tangible way. Yes. We should every day remind ourselves what he did for us individually. Amen. I mean, that's one of the reasons we 1 John 1:9. It's not about that we're going and we're confessing to a priest about absolving us for our sins. No, no. It's we going to God and saying, look, I'm agreeing with you that I'm a mess. I'm agreeing with you that I chose my way a lot of the times today, yesterday, the day before, and will tomorrow, if you I live. We come to him and we agree with him that we couldn't fix the mess. But we agree with him that he and he alone is able to forgive our sins and cleanse us. So we don't keep choosing our way. We've been cleansed. We've been redeemed. Notice those words are past tense. It's already happened. So today, family, because this is a family meal, as we try to open our cups, because some of our hands are getting older and they're not being able to do what they used to do. Oh, I had a whole bunch of amens on that one. We come to remember what Jesus did. We come to remember that it was his blood, his perfect life for us, that was a sacrifice. That it was his body that was broken for us. Take and eat. And we also remember that it was the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus, that was shed for us for the remission of our sin. Take and drink. All God's people say,
amen.
You may be seated. I know we're a little short-handed sometimes. So we had to bring in help every now and then. She back there. Come on, sip up your water. Hurry up, soloist. But praise God, this is a body. So one thing I learned in learning that we're going to practice this year is it's not just on us. We got a bunch of brothers and sisters, like some of our families, in different houses. But we need to start coming together and doing things as a family. So we need help every now and then from family members. Amen? I'm waiting because grandma back there tending the granddaughter, and she got to come up. She got that grandma duty in. That's all right. But so sometimes you reach out to your physical family, but praise God, she's our spiritual family as well. So we got Alice coming up to help us out today with this song. I thought it was appropriate to blow the dust off of one and bring it back.
Lord, we magnify your name. You
Praise the Lord. Happy New Year to all of you. Amen. Our sermon title today is God's Plan for Life and Family. The subtitle, From Earth to Heaven. Text comes from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and Revelations chapter 21, 1 to 7. Genesis 3:15 says, "And I cause hospitality between you and between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Revelations 21:1-7 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life. And who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and the doers of his great and mighty word.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
Amen. Thank Shoes you, and socks.
That's a good phrase. Shoes and socks. Look at your neighbor and say, "Shoes and socks."
Shoes and socks.
Pastor, don't break it down.
That's
what we need,
that fact. There you go. Now I can breathe. Oh, thanks the Lord. Hallelujah. Nice fresh COVID. Amen. Oh, everybody that's scared, huh? I'm a preach to this side then. Amen. Amen. Woo, Jesus. Some nice fresh COVID. Oh, it's on.
Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All over again. Robin, how you doing this morning? Robin Friend, how you doing this morning? Good to see you. Amen. Good to see everybody. Kathy Brother, what's up? Amen. That's your new name, Kathy Brother Clyburn. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, you have blessed us to see another year. We thought those hills and we thought those valleys was going to wipe us out. We thought, Lord, that we had had enough. But it turns out we have not. You ignited a fire within us this morning in this brand new year to be here on the first day of worship service in this year.
Yes.
And Father, we ask that you bless this day, and not just this day, but this day going forward for all the days that you allow us to be here. Let us do what the psalmist says. Let us consider, let us be mindful, Lord, that the days you give us, and let us do all that we can to make the most of each and every day that you give us this year. Whatever happened last year is in last year. Whatever happens this year is brand new. So, Lord, let us do the brand new, unless the same old was good. If the same old was good and productive, let us continue in that. But if we have that stuff, Jesus, that was no good to us, if we have that stuff that just keeps us from experiencing the life you intended for us to live, let us leave that stuff to the side. Give us the strength, Jesus. Give us the heart to do it. We don't even care, Lord, if you have to give us trouble. We don't care if you have to give us distress. Help us, Lord, when we get enough distress to look to you to relieve us from that distress and press the reset button so we can go home and reestablish our relationship with you, which had waned. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and ask that you help us to understand and get this word so we live it out in our everyday life. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Bless my ears.
Bless my ears.
To hear your word today. And bless my heart. To receive your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But that's why I come here. So I can change the way I think. So I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of y'all know that God got a will for your life and it might not be the same as for my life? Amen. I'm not you, you're not me. You don't have my weaknesses and strengths, and amen, and I don't have yours. You might be strong in some areas where I'm weak. You can help me up. You might be weak in some areas I'm strong. I can help you up. Ain't that right?
Amen.
And that's what we're going to do this year, right?
Right.
We're going to make this year a new year, not just another year. Another year means you're doing the same old things you did last year. That ended you up in the place you was at the end of the year. If you want things to be new, only you can do new. Okay. God's word don't need to be new. Your response to it needs to be new.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
God's word does not need to be made new. But our response to it needs to be made new. The things that we said no to the Lord last year, we need to say yes this year.
All right.
When the Lord say, you need to be in Bible class. Yes, Lord, I'm going to Bible class.
Amen.
Oh, geez, I ain't getting no amen. Woo! Amen.
Yeah.
Woo! That was deep. Jesus is like, well, I don't know if they're feeling that Bible class. Amen. Amen. Today I want to start this sermon series talking to you about God's plan for life and family. You know, at the end of the year, we talk about that money because God wants you to go forward in this year making your money work for you. He wants to take everything you have, like the boy with the two fish, five loaves. What did the boy do? Gave it all over to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you give God all your money because then you can't live. What I'm saying is put God in charge of your money. Let God be the one to give you ideas, because the Bible says it is the Lord God who gives you what? Power to get what? Wealth. How many people want wealth? Wow, you got people in church don't want wealth. Amen. God wants you to have wealth so that on every occasion that pops up, you can what? Be generous. Amen. And make God look good. Why? Because you give. You make people happy. God give to you, and you go do things for other people. And guess what? That proves that you have a relationship with him. saying I love the Lord and being nothing like the Lord make people wonder. But when you are just like Jesus, when you take your little 2 fish, 5 loaves and just give them away, amen, then the Lord can restore to you 12 baskets full. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you about God's plan for life and family so we can start the new year off right. God has a perfect plan for your life. For your life. He has a plan. That plan is in God's word. It's not like we have to go to some fantastic preacher or Bible teacher and have them teach us what God's plan for our life is. All we have to do is open up God's word and read it. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will explain to you his plan for your life. God's plans for you, plans Deacon Charles Tate had to get me to recognize when I read 29:11 in Jeremiah, that I was saying, God has a plan. God has a plan. But when he redirected me to that passage, I read that God has plans for your life. And see, that makes sense, don't it? Because we always need another plan for this, a plan for that, and a plan for this. So it makes sense that God has plans for our life.
Okay.
And our world today is in the condition it is because not a whole lot of folks are living according to God's plan. And I'm not talking about unsaved people because they don't even know God's plan. They ain't never heard about God's plan. Amen. They reject God's plan. And they got their own plan. But I'm talking about the church. God has a plan for your life. Amen?
Yeah.
And our world is tore up today because Christians are not being who they're supposed to be.
Amen.
Christians, wherever Christians go, they bring change. Where, if you read and study Christian history, wherever they went, they brought change.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Wherever they went, the whole culture changed. You know what made the Vikings turn straight and stop attacking people like they was just made to do that? They became Christian. And then they found out that they can't go around attacking people. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans this morning, and Dr. Tony Evans was talking about how people are not living according to God's word, and God is giving them all kinds of trouble and all kinds of distress. But God is using that distress to make these folks turn to him. Just like the prodigal son, when he had enough distress in his life, when he had sunk down low enough, he reached up. Amen? And God was waiting for him to reach up so he could grab that hand and pull him right back up in the position of life he was supposed to be in. And a lot of the things that we see going on today, mostly every single one of them, is if we would be the light of the world, if we would be the salt of the earth, if we would be more visible instead of trying to be an undercover Christian, if we would be more verbal instead of trying to speak to people in sign language, amen, things might change. The world does not have the power to fix the world. They have no plan. This is their plan. How is that working? This is their plan for dealing with racism. How is that working? This is their plan for dealing with finances where only the rich 2% of the people got all the money in America. 95% of us make less than $50,000 a year. Amen? That's the world's plan. But God's plans are for you to prosper. God's plans are for you to succeed. God's plans are for you to not fail. God's plans are to pick you up when you fall. Amen. So God has a plan, but the world is not following God's plan. And that is why our world is all tore up today. Y'all remember how Dr. Tony Evans started out his speech on this, right? Where Dr. Tony Evans said he had a crack in the wall. Y'all remember that? And the crack just kept getting worse. So he started calling people. The first person he called acted like they could fix the crack with some other kind of way than really examining the problem for the crack. So he just put something right on top of the crack. And that's what we do, right? When we want to fix something broken in our lives, we try to self-medicate, right? Amen. We start running to this person, running to that person, sitting with therapists thinking they're going to get us right. Amen. We don't turn to the Lord. Amen. When we turn to the Lord, then we can get a real solution to the problem. So what Dr. Tony Evans did was call somebody else in. He wanted another opinion. Amen. And when that other person came in, they looked at the crack just like the last person. But their solution wasn't just to paste over the crack. And that's what we're doing in our world today. Every time a problem pops up, we put a Band-Aid on it. But if you put a Band-Aid underwater and it's not the type that won't come off underwater, what happens? Only a Jesus solution is the Band-Aid that won't come off underwater. But we keep putting them old Band-Aids on. When they get wet, they rub right off. So what Dr. Tony Evans learned from the second guy that came out is the reason for the crack in the wall was the foundation that was holding the wall up. It had shifted.
All right.
And that's what's going on in our world today. The world has shifted away from God, even America. Mm-hmm. Amen. Land of the free, home of the brave.
Yeah.
Amen. The first country to actually figure out how to let church and state work side by side. They decided that America wasn't going to be a totally religious country, right? But it would be a country that expressed freedom no matter what you believe. But on top of all of that was Christianity. And it was the glue that held America together. But then they started stripping the glue off and started replacing it with dreams, ambitions, money, amen, events, places to go, things to do. When we were in the South during the antebellum period, before the Civil War started, before we were made free, amen?
Okay.
America was already on the decline. America was declining because there was a belief that the Bible said this, but the Bible didn't really say that, amen? And so they started replacing the Bible. Most of what we call the founding fathers were really people called reasonists. Amen. They were like agnostic Christians who believed Jesus was less than God but more than man. They believed that something wasn't reasonable. They didn't accept it. They believed if something couldn't be proved by the disciplines of science, they didn't believe it. They wouldn't receive it. So the virgin birth, not reasonable. Can't be proved by science. One person literally took some folks, 100 of them, put them in a room for a year. And waited for one of them to experience immaculate conception. And when it didn't happen, ruled it out. That makes Jesus just a man. And that's when America started on this journey to where we are today. The further we came in this country, yes, we started being more prosperous than most of the countries in the world. And yes, we started, when the industrial age hit, when we started making things and telephones and all of this stuff, yes, everything progressed. But those things became the thing. And no longer would people look up and search and seek for God, but now they were looking down and around. And so America moved off the foundation on which they started building it on and moved to a whole nother foundation. Amen. One that cannot support that American idea, that American dream that they came here with, that this country was founded. The Declaration says what? All men were created equal. They moved away from that. Amen. All of us were to live in an environment that was conducive to us, what? Seeking freedom and prosperity. Well, they soon moved away from that. It used to be an egalitarian society. That means everybody's equal, every rich and poor, all on the same level. They moved away from that in the 1800s. Do you know why they created the first police department? In 1827, the masses, Mary, they was upset because they had worked all year and they ain't had nothing to show for it. But then the robber barons, the rich folks, the chasers, amen, and all of the rich people that built America, have y'all ever seen that documentary, The Making of America? All of those rich folks that they mentioned, they had all the money. They became the 1% that had 90% of all the money in America. And the 10% didn't have enough. And you oppress people long enough, they get mad. And they start rioting. And that's what happened in 1827. So in 1828, they created the first police force in New York. And the police force was not created to protect the masses, but they were created to protect the robber barons from the masses. So all of that protect and serve, That wasn't for the masses. It was to keep the masses from jumping over the gates of those who were rich. See, back in Europe, they used to have this thing called the Lord of Misrule. And at certain celebrations, they would put the poor in charge of everything. Well, the poor tried to pull that same thing off here in America, but they created a police force to stop it. Amen. So America is on shifting sand. It has moved off the foundation that God placed it on. And now it's on shifting sand. The whole world is on shifting sand. Wherever Christianity was in the world, do y'all know in the first 1,000 years, mostly in the first 1,000 or 1,500, first and 500 into the second 1,000 years, that the word of God had gone everywhere. Amen. And had brought great to even Russia. Russia became what they call the Third Rome. Amen. Rome was in Italy. Then it moved to Constantinople. But when the Muslims took over Constantinople, Rome once again moved to Russia. But what happened? They moved off that foundation and became an atheist nation as it is to this day. So whenever you throw Jesus out, what you've done is taken the foundation that you're standing on out from under you. And now you're on what? Sinking sand. And sinking sand won't hold you up when problems come. Amen. So God has a plan. And God has a plan to get us from earth to heaven. Pastor Tate already preached the whole first part of my sermon in her speech about communion. For that very reason, John, in Genesis 3:15, that is a result of what happened in the garden. See, in the garden, God made Adam. Just Adam. There was no Eve. God gave Adam a place to live. God gave Adam a job. God gave Adam rules to live by. Adam was under God's authority. So his foundation was keep and dress the garden. Don't eat from that tree. This is where you live under my authority. Well, Adam and Eve moved out from God's authority. They came up with another plan. They had been offered a new solution by the devil. And the devil made it seem like, don't the devil always make it seem like what he got going is better than what God got going? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Even though we know from the beginning that sinning ain't going to be what? Winning. We know that. That's why we be so nervous. That's why we be so shaky. That's why our palms start sweating. Why? Because we finna sin and we know from the beginning, this ain't going to be no winner for me. But we do it anyway. So Adam and Eve were told by the devil that God was just holding out on y'all. God made you like this, gave you this whole planet, but you can't have that tree. What kind of God would give you the whole planet but not that tree? And Adam and Eve was like, hey, why you give me the whole plant? What's up with that tree? God told them that tree to kill them. Yeah. But the devil has to convince them it won't. And y'all know that how many times have the devil convinced you that if you keep on swiping that credit card, it ain't going to never run out? And then you got to swipe it one day and that credit card ran out. And then you standing there at the cash register talking about the devil. He's a liar. Amen. Amen. Swipe it again. The devil is a lie. Jesus is going to miraculously put money on it. Why we always swipe again? Ain't no money coming on there. When that thing say unapproved, you pull it out. Put it in your pocket and say, my wife must have ran this thing up. And then, amen, then walk on out. Amen. But in our case, I would have to say, she would be like, my husband must have ran this thing up. Amen. So Adam and Eve went with the devil's plan. Why? Because the devil told him, look, God's a liar, cat. That's what he said. Yeah. Amen. Lisa? Told him, the Lord is a liar. You will not surely die. He directly contradicted God's word. The devil crazy. Devil all the way crazy. The devil will contradict God in his face. Said that God's, he knew God was there. He know God's omnipresent. He had been up in heaven with the Lord for how long? Forever. And now all of a sudden on earth he's calling God a liar. He knows God's not a liar because God kicked him out of heaven. That's why he was roaming around in that trash heap that we call the earth before we got here. It was darkness. God kicked Satan out of the light into the darkness. We come out of the darkness into the light. He went out of the light into the darkness. So he told Adam and Eve, God's not fair. Mm-mm. There's more to life than what he allowing you to live. You're not getting all you're supposed to get. So he's a liar because you're not going to die. That's stupid. Don't even tell nobody that. Don't, wasn't even nobody to tell but the animals. Don't even tell nobody that. God's a liar. This is what the devil said. He said, God knows. Amen. Wow. Now you're putting words in the Lord's mouth. You will not surely die like the Lord said, but God knows that if you eat from this tree, now he's going to ascribe to God an ulterior motive for telling them not to eat from the tree. God knows if you eat from this tree, you're going to die. What that meant was spiritual death. But Satan sought to prove to them they weren't going to die because he knew when they bit, they wouldn't drop to the ground. And they would think they had accomplished their end. That's why when Eve ate from the tree, she didn't drop dead. And Adam like, God is a liar. Ain't that something? He let his wife eat first. Ain't that something?
Ladies first.
Ladies first. That's where that started, right? He was being courteous. He was being kind. Amen. Carrie, he was looking out for her. Say, baby, I want you to go first because I'm that kind of guy. Okay? And when she ate and Adam looked and she ain't dropped dead, Sheila, you know what Adam said? The Lord is a lie. Amen. Instead of the devil is a lie, he said the Lord is a lie and the devil telling the truth. Lord, have mercy. The Lord is a lie. Well, so Adam said, well, since the Lord's lying to me, lying to us, because my wife done proved it, she ate, she looked all right, then he ate. And that was it. It was a wrap. All of a sudden, oh, baby, you look different. Oh, Lord have mercy. Look at this. Baby, you look different. I look different. Let's got him a fig leaf. Now all of a sudden they got shame. See, God wanted them to have the tree of knowledge, but it was different than anything else on earth. Because God knew if I give you the right to choose for yourself, you're going to need a whole lot of guidance on that. He would have gave, if the Lord did not withhold Jesus Christ from us, can you see him withholding a tree from them? But that tree had to come with instructions. Amen. Parents, when you let your kids drive your car for the first time, Carrie, she's looking at you. For the first time, both of them looking at you now. Do you say, hit the key, take off?
No.
Oh, no. You get up, son. Look, I don't want you going over your friend's house. I don't want your friends up in the car with you, and y'all better not be in there. Yeah. Hey, man, you give them some instructions. Why? Because they're getting ready to do something that could really mess them up. But what did God do? So y'all wait on that now. He didn't tell them he was going to give it to them. Just told them, you don't want to mess with that yet. Not yet. We don't know how long it would have been before God let them. I believe he would have gave them instruction. He would have gave them some instructions. And they would have known what they were getting into. They would have known the devil is a lie. Because they would have learned the knowledge of good and evil. And then when he came talking, they said, oh, you're evil. Because you don't worship God. You say God's a liar. He ain't. Amen. But they didn't have that. They had innocence. But it's amazing how they did not want God to be over them. You say, Pastor, how can you say they didn't want God over them? Because Satan said when you eat from that tree, you're going to become like him. What does Satan say? I think it's Isaiah, where he makes all those protestations that I will be like the Most High. Ain't that amazing? The devil who hates God wants to be like God, but apart from God. Amen? Oh, we don't hate God, do we? Amen? But we want to be like God. But apart from God? So we want to go to church. We want to do what Pastor Terrence Tate preached yesterday. We want to say, Lord, Lord, and don't do what he say. Amen? You cannot call, you can call Jesus Savior, but if you're not doing what he says, you can't call him what? Lord, because that name has a meaning. That name shows up in Genesis chapter 2. That name shows up as the Lord our God, or Jehovah, or Yahweh. That name means the ones who over us literally gets to tell us what to do. And we don't do any. Adam and Eve should, amen, should have listened. Because the moment that Adam ate, they died. What did that mean? They were spiritually separated from God. Guess what? When we're born into this world, we're born into a spiritual separation from God. We come like Adam and Eve in the age of innocence. But sooner or later, that age of innocence gets over. Now, if a person dies before they reach the age of innocence, then they go straight to heaven. But once you get to that age where you know what's right and what's wrong, once you get to that age where you can get ready to do wrong and you feel like on the inside this is wrong, you know right from wrong. And you're not innocent any longer. You are in open rebellion against God. If God said don't lie and you lying, that's open rebellion. Unless you went with your granddaughter, Alan. Unless she started lying. She started lying when she's just a baby. Amen. When you ask her, did you do that? And you saw her do that? And she said, no. Okay, well, God put up with that. Because she's a baby. But if Alice do something, amen. And the Lord say, Alice, what is that? Alice be like, no. You're like, oh, really? Amen. Amen. So once we reach that age of accountability, it's a wrap. Yeah. You stand before the Lord just like Adam and Eve, and you have to get back into relationship with God. But watch this. Adam and Eve didn't run to seek the Lord. He came to seek them. God knows when we're lost. And the Lord shows up saying, Vitrus, where art thou? Vitrus is like, I don't know. Amen. And then Jesus said, well, you outside of me. And Peter was like, well, I don't want to be out here. How I get in there? Jesus said, well, you need to believe in me. She said, I'll do that. Amen. But when Adam and Eve were asked, where art thou? You know what they said? The woman you made. I was naked. I hid myself. Ain't none of that a confession. I asked you, why are you not in relationship with me any longer? Why aren't you spiritually separated from me? Why are we no longer in communion with each other? How did that happen? That's what God was saying. That's what he meant when he asked Adam, who told you was naked? Because I ain't tell you. Who told you was naked, Adam? Who told you was naked? Because I ain't tell you. I don't remember telling y'all that. I just made y'all in innocence and y'all didn't even recognize. You didn't know. Amen. So who told you? Well, the woman. Daniel, like, so you picked me. Okay, the woman who you gave to be with me. She said, Carrie, that's how Mark is going to do. When it comes down to it, Jesus, he's going to be like, Jesus, the woman you gave to me, she gave me and I ate. I did what you said I did. I broke it up. But it's Marcus. Amen. She gave, and I ate. But Carrie, don't worry about it, because you're just as smart as he is. Why? Because he taught you everything God taught him. So you're as smart as he is. So when the Lord says, Carrie, what's up with this? Well, the serpent that you made, that's more wiser than any other beast. See what I'm saying? So, amen. Don't play it down. Ladies, just as smart as the men. Amen. Throw them under the bus. They're coming right out from under there and blaming somebody else. Amen. The snake you made that you said was smarter than anything else you made in the animal kingdom. Okay? He tricked me. And I ate. So, yeah, like my husband, I'm guilty. Like him, but it ain't my fault. That's not a confession. Amen. So they weren't seeking God. They didn't say, Lord, something different with me. I feel all kinds of funny. And I want to hide behind a tree. I don't like being around you no more. Something different. Ain't that the way we feel when we sin? We don't even want to pray about it. Because we feel like we did this on purpose. This wasn't no mistake. And God ain't going to forgive me for my sin. Because this wasn't no, I didn't accidentally, we're so holy, we accidentally sin. Hey, sin we commit is on purpose. Amen. Except for the ones of omission on purpose. You know, like when we cut somebody off because they cut us off. Amen. I ain't mean to cut them off like, if I'm the guilty one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can always find the guilty one, Mary. They go, Jesus, I did that this morning. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that we are under a different relationship with the Lord? That like Janice said, we confess our sin. And she didn't use the word confess. She used the Greek word for it, which means agree. Amen. I agree with you. And at some point, Adam and Eve had to agree with God that they were in sin. Amen. And so God came up with a remedy, albeit it was temporary, but it looked forward to somebody coming to make it permanent. The temporary was he slew two animals. They had to shed their blood. Somebody had to die. Thank God it wasn't no more human beings. It was just animals. So some animals had to die. And he took their coats and he wrapped them around Adam and Eve. In other words, he restored their righteous relationship with him. They didn't do it. They didn't even try to do it. They ran and hid and told lies and came up with ways to hide their sin. You ever try to hide your sin? Amen. God will only let you hide confessed sin. Amen. Unconfessed sin, he'll bring that out in the open. Or he won't do it. If you keep on doing it, it's going to come out in the open. Sooner or later, you're going to get caught. I'll never forget this. My wife and I was on our way to work. And we pulled up into this gas station. And we saw this pastor. And we said, we tried to speak to the pastor. We said, hey, Pastor Robin. I was like, Pastor, how you doing? Robin Friend, I say, Pastor, how you doing? He wouldn't speak to us, Danielle. He just looked at us. And we was like, well, Pastor, just looking at us. Pastor also was sitting on the passenger side of his car. We like, Pastor on the passenger side of his car. Then we found out why Pastor wouldn't speak to some little funny looking girl. Amen. Amen. One of them kind of walk like this. Be looking on the ground all the time. Amen. Yeah. She got in, got under the wheel. She was dry. Okay. Melanie, that's why Pastor ain't want to know a brother. Amen. McKay, he say, brother, I can't speak to you right now. It's funny when we get caught in sin. We look straight ahead. Amen. Woo! I say, Pastor. Amen. All God wanted was confession. They didn't give it, so God went ahead and closed them up. But they did fix up. They did get back in relationship with God. How do I know? Because they started teaching their kids Genesis 3:15. Because God says Satan is an enemy, okay, against all mankind. That's what he meant when he'll be in hostility against a woman. That means the woman. See, God made Adam and Eve. But every other person on this planet come from Eve. Isn't that amazing? We're black. We're white. We're Asian. We're Mexican. Okay, we're all different kinds of races and creeds and colors. And all of us come from Eve. How miraculous is that? You know, now you can believe what the Muslims believe. They believe an evil black scientist named Yaqub got mad and angry for some reason and created white people. If you believe that I'm telling you a lie, go home and look it up and tell me if that ain't the craziest thing you ever heard. That is not Islam over in the Middle East. That is the Nation of Islam, the NOI, which is literally a black cult. That's all it really is. It's what Dr. Tony Evans was talking about, how black folks fall in love with being black folks and how white folks fall in love with being white folks, but don't fall in love with being Christian folks. We're Christians first before we're anything else. I'm a Christian who is black. Amen. Carrie is a Christian who is white. That's my sister. Mary is my sister. Amen. That's what God did in the beginning. I love it how the Lord mixed us all up. That way we come back together by faith. If we believe that every single one of us came from Mary, then we know we all related. Amen. That's why we're so crazy. Somebody didn't even get that. Amen. That's why, amen. That's why we so simply crazy, amen. Because they say when two cousins get together and have kids, you have what? All us related through Jesus, right through Mary, all us through Adam and Eve, all us brothers and sisters. That's why we so crazy. Bunch of crazy babies. So parents, when you see your kids acting all kinds of crazy, say, okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have to work our way back to being with each other. So now, how does God get us from earth to heaven? Since we are born with sin natures now, and since we are born separated from God, how does he get us back from earth to heaven? How does he put us back in fellowship with him? How do we get to live in a righteous relationship with him once again? Hey, man, my time up for real? Oh, this is a good thing. This is a series. How God does that is through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you go throughout the whole Old Testament, everybody is living in anticipation of the Christ. God gave him a babysitter. We call that the law. That's for real. I don't even know why I air quoted it. It seemed cool. Amen. They gave him the law. This is the babysitter who was supposed to keep Israel in order till they come back. And God said, look, I know y'all gonna mess it up. So when you mess it up, I need you to do this. Burn this thing over here, give it to the priest, let him burn it, and throw some blood somewhere, sprinkle some water somewhere, and you'll be all right. They even started messing that up. By the time you get to the book of Malachi, they're bringing God broke-leg lambs. Amen. So the Lord says, hey, I'll see you in 400 years. Amen. And what we just, the event that we just celebrated, Christmas, Christ, the answer to Genesis 3:15 became a reality in history. Jesus Christ had left heaven and come to earth, fully God, but wrapped himself up in human flesh so that he might take on his flesh all the sins of the world. From Adam all the way until we're to the end of the tribulation period, for real. For real, for real. All the way to the end of the tribulation period. And so every sin that has been committed in the world to those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, even the Old Testament folks who look forward to the coming Christ, every one of them have been made right with God, have been given right standing with God through Jesus Christ. And that is the only way we're going to get to Revelation 21, the new heaven, the new earth. That means when all of history, all of human history has culminated, when the white throne judgment is over, okay, then we get to Revelation chapter 21 and 22. That's when we get to live with God in heaven forever. Yes. We'll have a new earth, yes, a new heaven, and something we don't have now, yes, a new Jerusalem, a holy city. We will be able to go anywhere in the universe that we want to go. We can literally go to the moon and to Mars and wherever else we want to go and not die because we can't live out there. These clowns killed me sending all this money out here, telescopes, billions of dollars trying to see what we can't see and go where we can't go. Don't live on the moon. Even when you go out in space, you start aging faster. So you can't stay out there too long. But once God fixes all of this, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, and the Lord himself shall wipe everything that makes us sad, everything that makes life bad. In verse 8, he says, everything that makes life unbearable, I'm doing away with it. You don't even have to worry about it being there. But we'll be there, not because we're so holy. Because I know y'all think I'm perfect and do everything right. Praise the Lord. But I'm not. I mess up. Ask my wife. She'll tell you, you mess up a lot. Like now, both of them giving me the time sign. I'm in sin. The car I'm sitting. Lord, have a look at Janet. Say, I'm getting my phone. I got my phone 5 times. When are you going to quit? Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today that you have a plan for us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. Your plan includes no matter what race we are. We ain't going to even let the devil trick us with that nonsense. We know we all come from Adam and Eve. We're all family. And when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are for real family. We are that family that stays together forever. We are that family who will never lose each other ever again. And we will love each other, Father, just as you loved us with an agape love. A love that, as 1 Corinthians describes, overlooks all sin. All these faults committed against us, only because Jesus is our Savior. So we thank you, Father, that you have a plan to get us from earth to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, next week, we're going to talk about how God's going to implement his plan. We're going to look at the particular parts of his plan that he's going to put together to get us from earth to heaven. So we'll see you then. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I don't have that much today, so just a reminder that Running for Christ Ministry, the board, that we came together when we decided to come back into the church, that we're asking our members to make sure that you have your mask on and that your masks are worn properly. That means above your nose. We want to continue to enjoy our in-person service, and right now we got a COVID that's running rampant. And we want to continue to come into the church, so we're just asking that you continue wear your mask and just wear them properly, like I said, above your nose. We'll appreciate that. I don't have that much. Just continue to go to the site. I'm sending the information to Pastor as he's posting it. We do have some more print-offs about the programs, like carpentry and things like that. He made some more copies about that. And then we've been talking about financial things. This is a new year. As I stated, that if you go to annualcreditreport.com, where you can get all three credit reports, up until April 20 of this year, you can pull a credit report every week. They don't care, for free, to see what you have, to dispute that. And then, like I said, we have Nicole. Raise your hand, Nicole. Welcome back. and she said she will be able to help you if you need help, you know, disputing, but they'll let you dispute like right online if you have something wrong. And it's very important to get your credit, get stuff right on your credit report, things like that. So that's free. Also, I heard that Mary Grove College has a 15 to 16 month program for nursing. That's an accelerated program, and you come out with your bachelor's in science in nursing. And what's going on now, if you're interested in something like that, then you can go to their website, and they'll take information and they'll talk to you. Remember, on the go to the site, there's two announcements about expungement programs that is available. One is through the state, and one is through the Sam Bernstein Law Firm. And I've reached out to both because I'm trying to get a list of companies that will hire people who may have had a record or something. So we know their companies are out there. So I'm trying to, I couldn't find my list. So I'm just trying to see if I can get help to get in the list. I'm sorry.
City of Detroit is one.
And I know Big Three do, also depending on what it is. Big Three is still hiring. I know they're still hiring. And like I said, our college kids that's coming home, getting ready, for the summer, they have internships at different companies, so make sure you look at the companies. Anybody needs scholarship help, we still got DAPSAT, Math Corps getting ready to do. DAPSAT's going to start in February, so they're signing up for kids now. And I think that's about it for me.
All right, thank you, everybody. Have a good one.
Thank you for saying.
Get out of here.
As we're getting ready to close, we got to do something a little special today. Your prayers. Stay in prayer for our mothers, Mother Persia always, Mother Irma always, Mother Cheryl always, and Tyrone and her care for him. Prayer for Mother Louisa and the care for Crystal and her brother in the situation they're in right now. And special prayers for Mother Marilyn and her husband John and Aaron Seabrooks. They have this virus that's going around. But praise God, as June was pointing out earlier, we know it's not Omarion. Y'all stop listening to these TikToks. It's Omicron. It's more transmissible. We know that. And because of that, we have to be even more mindful. You know, we're up here, vaccinated, boosted, even though little and recovered, you know. So pray for the schools, for wisdom in the schools. And schools that are trying to push parents' wills, we know it's hard, but we got safety first. We got to consider, because if you break down the few teachers you got, I mean, you heard the governor, they letting, I know Mary probably like, they're not sending me, because Alice already said, I'm not going in nobody's classroom. So see what kind of laws and rules they're coming up with? It's crazy. But this is our opportunity to do what we can do best, talk to the Lord about it. We need this to come to an end, because the people who are going to hurt are not on the top. They're on the bottom. It's the 90% that's going to suffer the most from the decisions that are made, while the 10% or the 1.5% are getting richer. Yes. And he's got his coat on, but I'm gonna have Jonathan come up, because we have a young man leaving for university this week. So come on, Jalen. Makaya, you leaving too. When you leaving? You leaving?
Okay, I was supposed to leave January 9th, but they gave us because they closed
campus. Okay. But Jalen is leaving for Bowling Green State University on Friday. Full scholarship, y'all. Won't he do it? I know. Stop. Don't even start. But we're going to have Jonathan and pray for him.
Sisters, thank you.
Get a little closer so he can lay a hand on it.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you to ask your protection, your guidance, your instruction on Jalen as he goes to school. Mm-hmm. I already gave him my speech, Lord, and it was from you, and I told him to enjoy himself. This is going to be an awesome experience, free of charge to his family, his mother and father.
Amen.
And the rest of us. Thank you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would be available to him and for him, whether it's transportation, whether it's advice, whether our finances. Lord, bless our finances so that we can look out for him, Lord, so that he won't have to eat a Dorito sandwich. We say thank you, Lord, for keeping him. In all seriousness, we appreciate you, Lord, and pray that you would guide him spiritually, mentally, and socially in this next chapter of his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
She's allowed. As you're standing to your feet, I said we started this last Sunday. For the next month, we are closing with a different song. I hope our young folks won't be upset. because we need each other. We need each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to show real love one to another as we've been commanded. We need to be like our responsive reading. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, or we won't survive. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that
from my mouth. I love you. I need you to.
be reminded, a week from Monday, teacher training class on Zoom. If you need physical questions, see me, I have them. Pastors, I emailed them to you as well. With that being said, may the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Have a blessed week.
Okay.